Okay, this is just going to be a brief overview of where we have come from and where we are going with the ACIP recommendations for influenza vaccination. Now, this is a slide lists the various milestones in how the recommendations have advanced over the years. Before 2000, the recommendations were largely focused on persons age 65 and older, persons with chronic medical conditions predisposing them to severe complications of influenza, pregnant women, contacts of all of those above, and healthcare workers. In 2000, another large group of persons was added, and that was adults 50 and older. So adults 50 to 64 were added at that point. In 2004, children aged 6 to 23 months were added on the basis of developing epidemiology about that age group having a risk of severe complications that was similar to those seen in the elderly, as well as the contacts of those children and also contacts of children less than 6 months old. And the recommendation for pregnant women was advanced to include anyone who would be pregnant during the influenza season. In 2006, the recommendations were advanced again to include children aged 6 to 59 months, again based upon new studies showing a high risk of needing medical visits, not so much hospitalizations, but medical visits for that older toddler sort of age group, those ages 24 months to 59 months, and the contacts of those children. And so the result is that as of this past influenza season, 73% of the U.S. population had a recommendation for getting vaccinated. So how are we doing with this as far as coverage goes? Well, I think you all know the story on this, which is that we've sort of stagnated in our ability to get vaccines to persons, and in particular in children. Here is registry data from the last 3 years, and this covers children aged 6 to 23 months. And what this shows is six different registries over a three-year time span. And you see that the coverage kind of bounce around, that is two-dose coverage bouncing around from to around 20% in most of these registries, but not a whole lot of progress over time. And this, in comparison to some of the other recently introduced vaccines to this age group, this doesn't compare very favorably. Well, how are we doing with the adult age groups? This is data from a different source, not registries, but the National Health Interview Survey. But again, what this shows is that despite some advances in the early, mid-1990s, we are sort of stalled out in our coverage for most of the recommended groups. For those aged 65 and older, we're at about 70%. For healthcare workers, we're stuck at 40%, and of course, we always spend a lot of time at this conference talking about that particular challenge. And for pregnant women, we still haven't topped 20% yet. So what are the options to try to improve our prevention efforts? How do we get better coverage? Well, we can keep pushing away at trying to improve public awareness, improve provider education, better access to vaccination services. But another possible way to lift coverage in all of these various groups is to establish a universal vaccination recommendation. And as I'll show you in a minute, the first place to think about starting with that is with school-aged children. Next, we need to strengthen adult vaccination efforts, and this universal vaccination recommendation for children, and as we move towards possibly vaccinating all adults, would really emphasize the importance of preventing influenza in all these different age groups. So looking at the story among school-aged children, you can see that even though they don't have a lot of hospitalizations in that age group, those 5 to 14 years old in a variety of different community-based studies have consistently the highest rates of illness. And this illness also does translate to some access to the medical system. Here's a study done over a 20-year time span, which shows that during the peak of the influenza season, looking on the far right there, among those 5 to 15 years old, for example, you'll see 5, 6, 7 extra outpatient visits for influenza, and also some antibiotic prescriptions written for children who have fevers, who don't get diagnosed and are getting treated as if they had a bacterial infection. So this is a burden on the healthcare system. So the critical factors that ACIP looks at when they're thinking about advancing influenza vaccine recommendations include the supply, the safety, the cost effectiveness, the disease burden in that age group, the vaccine effectiveness, and the feasibility of sustained implementation. And between this slide and the next slide is a whole talk in itself, but what I'm going to give you is just the bottom line of what the ACIP influenza workgroup concluded about those six items. For the vaccine supply, we, of course, have had challenges in the past few years, going back a few years, rather. But just in the past couple of years, the manufacturers have really stepped up, and the supply has become adequate, and it's, in fact, improving, although we continue to struggle with some local distribution issues. For vaccine safety, the annual vaccination is established as safe in the school-age child group, but we still need to develop better long-term studies and maintain a continued vigilance in monitoring safety, of course. For cost-effectiveness, this influenza vaccination of school-age children would be more than higher than many of the currently recommended vaccines, although it's about in line with a few of the most recently recommended ones. And the other criticism of some of these cost studies that have looked at this issue are that they don't fully account for the indirect effects, and we'll hear more about that with I think, some of our next speakers. As far as disease burden goes, we saw a moment ago that the highest rates of influenza are in this age group, but the severe outcomes are relatively less common than they are in the elderly or in young, the very young children. For vaccine effectiveness, clearly in good match years, this is an age group that responds well to vaccination. And as I mentioned, there's increasing evidence for this idea of having indirect effects, and indirect effects being defined as reductions in illness among contacts when you vaccinate children that live in households. And then finally, probably the one that the work group struggled the most with was the feasibility of sustained implementation. And I think we'll talk a lot about that over the next hour. It's not certain what the feasibility of sustaining implementation of this is, but these comprehensive efforts to vaccinate this large cohort are probably not going to be established. I think what the work group finally concluded is you have to make the recommendation, and in that point, the infrastructure to actually implement and sustain it will need to get built. And it won't start until the recommendation's made. So the work group came up with the rationale for expanding vaccination, and this is a lot of text on the slide here. But what it really comes down to is that the vaccine's safe and effective in this group, that influenza has substantial adverse impacts in this group, not just with children but also with their contacts, things that are somewhat difficult to measure, increased school absenteeism, increased antibiotic use, medical care visits, lost work from their parents. There's an expectation that a simple age-based influenza vaccination recommendation is going to get to many of the children in the school age group who already had an indication for vaccination who are not currently getting vaccinated, and that mostly is the contacts of children, people who are more vulnerable, for example, say an 11-year-old child who has a baby sister at home, that same child that might have a grandmother at home, a child that might have their mother pregnant in the household. All these things are reasons for getting that age group vaccinated, and most of those kids with that sort of indication don't get vaccinated. And we also do a poor job of vaccinating children who have chronic medical conditions. So just with sort of a blanket, all comers age-based recommendation, the idea is that we might get better improved coverage. And finally, this idea of indirect effects, which is probably the one that's the most difficult to really get a handle on what these exactly would be. And that is the idea that if we vaccinate these school-age children, reduce the transmission in this age group that has the highest rates of illness, that we would enjoy the benefits of having their contacts have fewer illnesses also. And it's going to take a pretty high vaccination coverage, I think, to really see this impact at the community level. But that's the great hope. And these recommendations were approved at the February 27th, 2008 ACIP meeting, and they're going to begin this next influenza season. This next slide shows you the actual wording of the recommendation, which is that all children aged 6 months through 18 years should receive annual influenza vaccination beginning in 2008, that is this coming season, if feasible, but beginning no later than the 2009-2010 influenza season. And that sort of option out there at the end was intended to help programs that are struggling to get up and running for this season, help them get ready to at least plan for the next season. But the preference is to begin in this coming season. There's a couple other changes I just want to call your attention to. It's a little off topic, but just to mention that this is the first time in the annual recommendations that you'll see the new use of LAIV mentioned. Of course, this was approved at the October 2007 recommendations, 2007 ACIP meeting when there was a recommendation put out as a notice to readers. And that is that LAIV can be used all the way down to age 2. And also that both LAIV and TIV now are given as two doses for children getting vaccinated for the first time who are less than 9, and the doses are separated by 4 weeks. There's not a difference in the separation of doses as there has been in past years. The second new thing that you'll see in the recommendations is we'd like to introduce the three new influenza vaccine virus strains this year. You see them listed on the slide there. All three of these are new from last year. It's the first time in recent memory all three strains have changed out. The manufacturers are hard at work right now trying to get the vaccines ready for this coming influenza season. So what's next? Well, it's going to be quite a challenge to annually vaccinate 58 million school-aged children. We'll need to develop ways to evaluate the impact of doing this, and this is going to require larger than we currently have, population-based surveillance platforms. We'll need to consider, go on further as we think about this, to consider a universal vaccine recommendation. There's a lot of interest in adding healthy adults, that is, aged 19 to 49, to the annual recommendations. And as we're implementing this for children, we're going to be thinking about whether and when this should be done. So I just want to close with sort of a caveat here, which is that I think there might be a sense that there'll be a great relief when we have these simpler vaccination recommendations. It'll be easy. Everybody will need to be vaccinated. You won't have to think about who should you give it or should you not give it. But it's important to remember that if it's simpler in the short term, I don't think it will be in the long term. And that is because the current vaccines are clearly not yet optimized to protect those at highest risk of complications. And because of the interest in pandemic influenza, primarily, there's a great deal of interest in getting better vaccines and a lot of progress in adjuvants and different dosing systems and so on that might give us better vaccines. But these new vaccines are going to be in short supply initially. They're going to have new indications and contraindications. And the result is that we're going to have risk and age-based recommendations redux, where everybody will be recommended for vaccination potentially, but the vaccinations will have to be tailored to the individual people, including their risk and ages. And it's important that healthcare providers and programs remember that they're going to have to keep pace with progress in preventing influenza. If we want to vaccinate everyone because we think it's important, then providers and programs are going to have to need yearly education. They're going to need to know which influenza vaccines are recommended for which patients, which ones are contraindicated, which ones are suboptimal, and also to keep track of the current influenza epidemiology in their community and also at the national level as new studies come out showing what populations are at risk, which ones respond best to vaccination, and so on. So thank you. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to Kristen Ehresmann. And she is going to give us a talk entitled Perspective from Immunization Managers. And let me just introduce Kristen here. She's an epidemiologist, and she's manager of the Immunization, Tuberculosis, and International Health Section at the Minnesota Department of Health. And with that, I'll turn the mic over to her.